what I want, got, and I might be hard to handle. Welcome back to the Rusted Culture, folks, and I want to thank you for being here today. And as always, if you want to reach us, you can reach us at rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. Got an interesting show lined up for you. We're going to talk about the latest numbers on kids separated from their parents. We're also going to talk about the FBI just cracked Cohen's encrypted messages on his BlackBerry. Well, Trump, I hate to bust your balloon here, but you really don't make my dreams come true. Not really. Quite the opposite. And folks, I want to thank you for the listen again today. And that music is from, of course, the song You Make My Dreams Come True. And it's from the Philip Fox Band. And you can find the Philip Fox Band and the entire clip of this song on YouTube. So look them up. But, Trump, you don't really make my dreams come true. But if I didn't give him constructive criticism, I think it's constructive, right? I mean, I'm not saying he's got a big caboose or anything like that, or, you know, talking him down. I try to keep it constructive. But if I didn't do that, I mean, who else would? I mean, really, the Republicans, they just look the other way. That is, all except the ones that are leaving, and you know who they are. We're talking about Senator Corker, Jeff Flake, and John McCain. But interestingly enough, folks, today, Paul Ryan, who's also packed his bags, as we know, not seeking re-election. Today, Paul Ryan just admitted that he is not comfortable with the zero-tolerance Trump policy that leads to parents and children being separated. And he said today that legislation is necessary, presumably to stop the practice of declaring immigrants, even those seeking asylum, from being declared criminals. And by declaring them criminals, which, as we know, allows immigration officials to separate the parents from the minors, declare them criminals, and then you're just dealing with animals at that point, right? Anything goes once you've declared them criminals for seeking asylum. Well, folks, we know it's wrong, and I swear it's so wrong that this inhumane treatment is going to run folks against Donald Trump in the long term. He's not going to win this method of his immigration battle, the way that he's carrying this out. Anyone with a heart and a conscience and empathy doesn't want immigration done this way, and it's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him in the long run. If you're listening, Donald, you heard it here. But did you hear today, folks, that the count of kids separated from their parents now totals 2,000 kids? Wow. That's just criminal, folks. And that's how you turn, and that's how you, I mean, really, if you want to think about it, that's how you turn people into future terrorists. Trump must know the recipe here, because when you diabolically separate kids from their parents, knowing the chances of reunification are slim to none, that they'll ever see their parents again, you've basically wounded these kids at a very early age. And without parents or a similar support structure, these psychologically wounded kids, they're going to face an uphill battle in life. I mean, I'm not telling you anything different. Like I said before, we've all been kids. And to be separated from your parents, I mean, psychologically wounded. And I'm just saying, folks, that's how you create the conditions, the very conditions where these kids are going to turn to gangs, life of crime, or worse. We've always been taught that you should treat people how you want to be treated. And if the shoe were on the other foot, folks, I wonder how they would feel about it. You give respect and you get respect. It's not complicated. Well, it's so easy to become numb to all of this. I mean, we hear it in the news day in and day out, but these are real lives that are affected. And not just affected for the next day or two, for life. These are real lives that are being affected here. And for me, there's so much that Donald Trump does that keeps me burning. from within, you know, just the anger that I feel, that this show is a way that I can sit down and I can spread the gospel, if you will, on what he's doing and why it's wrong, And just today on Morning Joe, I don't know if you saw it today, but on Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, he lit that flame in my heart again when he compared the methods used by Trump's immigration policy to the Nazis. And I just want to say, absolutely. I mean, Joe, you're spot on. This is something that the Nazis did. We know they did this. They separated families and then they gassed them to death because this immigration tactic that Donald Trump is doing right now, this immigration tactic, which he thinks is, I mean, and he said that it's basically trying to dissuade them from coming into our borders and applying for asylum, even. This tactic has more in common with the Nazi regime than it has with our country, the United States of America. So just keep pushing that, Joe. We need more pushback, and evidently the White House hears it. They're complaining about what you've said. But it's a kind of, they hear it, it's in one side and out the other type of hearing. And, you know, you just really make my dreams come true, folks. Donald Trump, I mean, oh, wow. I mean, it just, it's endless. It's just endless. But hang on there. I'm going to be right back with something else. Well, folks, whoops, I don't know if you heard about this, but Michael Cohen is going to earn the nickname of Flipper. I'm going to have to call him Flipper. Remember that show that was on TV? Wow, Flipper, Flipper, Flipper. Hmm, what a show. They called him Flipper. Well, Wilt lives in a world full of wonder. And old Michael Cohen here. I've got some interesting stuff today. You know, the FBI just recovered 731 pages of messages and calls from Michael Cohen's BlackBerry. That's a lot. And I'm sure there's going to be more coming out. This is coming to us from Gizmodo.com. And the reporter is A.J. Dellinger. This came out today, June 15th. And the article goes in to say that the FBI just got its hands on a whole lot of Michael Cohen's encrypted communications. In a letter submitted Friday, today, the United States Attorney's Office revealed that it obtained a treasure trove of messages and call logs from a BlackBerry that belonged to President Donald Trump's personal attorney. And according to the letter, the FBI, they were able to recover 731 pages worth of conversations from an encrypted messaging services, and evidently he was using something called WhatsApp, and another one called Signal, which it submitted to be reviewed as evidence, the FBI did. And the agency was also able to reconstruct 16 pages of documents that were discovered in a shredding machine when it executed that search warrant all the way back in April. 16 pages. Somebody painstakingly put those back together. Oh my gosh. What patience. What patience it would take. Well, the FBI is still attempting to extract information from a second BlackBerry that was taken during the sweep of Cohen's home, his office, and hotel room. And the U.S. Attorney's Office didn't provide an estimate as to how much more information may be coming from that device, but it did note in the letter to the judge, who is Kimba Wood, that it recovered approximately 315 megabytes of data from one BlackBerry. And the government was advised that the FBI's original electronic extraction of data from telephones did not capture content related to encrypted messaging application, such as WhatsApp and Signal, the letter stated, but the FBI is now, they got it. They give them enough time, the FBI will come up with it. And that's evidently exactly what they've done. And the information recovered from the BlackBerry was handed over to Cohen and his team of attorneys on Friday, today. And he'll be given until June 25th to review all of those materials and claim protected status on any of the messages. Protected status, client-attorney privilege, that kind of thing. And those claims will be reviewed by the special master, Barbara Jones, who is a retired judge that's been assigned to the case. So the FBI's latest recovery adds to the already massive pile of data collected from Cohen's devices and iPhones and an iPad. A total of 291,000 items were collected from those devices. And it just goes on and on. And folks, you know what? If that's not enough, on Thursday, yesterday, Michael Cohen asked a California judge to issue a gag order against Michael Avenatti, who we know is Stormy Daniels' lawyer, because Michael Cohen claimed that it was depriving him, his talk, Michael Avenatti's talk on all these different shows, was depriving him of his right to a fair trial. Make him stop it. And meanwhile, today Trump said that Michael Cohen isn't his personal lawyer anymore, and he's not spoken to Michael in a very long time, and that he, Donald Trump, had done nothing wrong, as we know. He says that every chance he gets. But Trump did say that he always liked Michael, and that is sort of a kiss blown from afar to Michael Cohen. But is that going to be enough to keep Michael from flipping? I always liked Michael, Donald Trump said. I always liked Michael. Is that going to be enough to keep Michael Cohen from flipping? Well, factor this in, folks. When we're talking about Michael Cohen flipping, up to now, Cohen's three-man legal team that he's got currently reviewing the information the FBI gleaned from raiding his home, his apartment, and his office, part of these legal bills from this three-man legal team, and sometimes they've even got more guys on the team, depending on what data they're looking at. It's all, well, not all of it's being paid, but a large portion of it's being paid by the Trump family. And according to a New York Times article on June 13th, Cohen is disputing a payment to these lawyers, and he plans on firing these lawyers after they wrap up the review of data from the FBI raid. And again, this was 8 boxes of paper. Now we're up to about 30 cell phones, according to the New York Times. 30 cell phones? My God. And I've said this before. I mean, you don't have 30 cell phones if you're just doing your daily business. It's hard to have 30 cell phones. I mean, you don't have 30 cell phones unless you're up to no good. No good. In addition to that, he's got iPads and computers, and as we just learned today, that also includes the encrypted communications from his BlackBerry that were just cracked. Oh boy, it's really going to, we're going to see some stuff here shortly, I think, from Michael Cohen. But what great timing, really. I mean, if he's going to flip, if Michael Cohen is going to flip, he fires the Trump paid attorneys. He cuts that line, you know, and then, you know, then he flips. It sure feels like it. I mean, it sounds like it's going that way. I mean, what a bombshell that would be. What a bombshell. My gosh. Oh, well, hang right in there. I've got some more stuff coming right up. Well, Donald Trump, if you're wondering what I'm doing here, I'm just kind of glubbing down some of my green tea. Glubbing that down. You know, normally it's normally coffee. But again, this is a little bit later. It's getting later, so it's green tea. But Trump had a really busy week last week. I mean, he was spinning round here nonstop. He started off with trashing the G7, our allies. And did you catch all of that? Oh my gosh. I've never seen such drama. Why all the drama? Why does he have to be so dramatic? I mean, I don't get it. Why all the drama? I mean, come out here to the Midwest, Donald Trump, and we'll show you how to tone that drama down. We don't do drama out here. For the most part. We do have that dramatic senator, Stephen King. God, don't get me started. But, oh my gosh, the G7 trashed the meeting. He basically trashed the meeting. And then you've got his advisor, Larry Kudlow. Last Sunday, he accused the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of undermining the U.S. and its allies with comments that he made at the G7 summit. Kudlow said, "It was betrayal." And that's what he said on the State of the Union. And even Trump then lashed out at Trudeau for what he said were false statements at a news conference and said the U.S. would not endorse the G7 communique. A joint communique from all the nations. He would not endorse it. We're not going to do it just because of what Trudeau said. And it's kind of unclear which of Trudeau's statements Trump was calling false. We do know that Trudeau said in the news conference Saturday that Canada will move forward with retaliatory measures on July 1st in response to the Trump administration's decision to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from Canada, the European Union, along with Mexico. So they're going to move forward. Here we go. They're going to move forward with their version of the retaliation. And Justin Trudeau said that I've made it very clear to the president that it is not something we relish in doing, but it's something that we absolutely will do. Canadians were polite, we're reasonable, but we're also not going to be pushed around. And with that, my friends, that's exactly why and how trade wars don't work. They become a tit-for-tat scenario with each side ramping up the rhetoric, and the trade war escalates and consumers always lose. And Donald Trump, these consumers are voters. And when you make them lose, they're not going to forget it. Even Angela Merkel of Germany said on last Sunday night, "We won't allow ourselves to be ripped off again and again. We will act too." You know, trade wars, American consumers, they're going to end up paying more for goods. And they're not going to forget it when they go to the polls. American farmers lose because the tariffs are too high and raise the prices of their products. And therefore, they make their products too expensive. It's a lose-lose situation, folks. We're heading right in that direction, just like the Titanic. Everybody loses in a trade war. So that statement from Justin Trudeau is all it took to get these kind of statements from Trump's administration, you know, his advisors. And one of the statements was, "Trudeau did a great disservice to the whole G7. He really kind of stabbed us in the back," Kudlow said. And then Kudlow went off and you know, unfortunately, he had a heart attack shortly thereafter. He's still kicking, but just about blew a gasket. And then you've got another one. If that's not enough, I'm not even bringing up Rudy Giuliani. But you've got Peter Navarro, who's Trump's trade advisor. I think he's a nutcase. He directed a series of stinging comments at Trudeau on Fox News last Sunday. And he said, can you believe what he said? "There's a special place in hell for any foreign leader that engages in bad faith diplomacy with President Donald J. Trump and then tries to stab him in the back on the way out the door." Oh, God. Yeah. So Trump trashes the G7 meeting. And at the same time, Russia and China, folks, they're meeting at the same time. And they're basically slapping each other's backs on how the West and their allies are in a free fall. And folks, I think at this moment they're right. I mean, the allies, basically, you can call it a free fall. And according to Axios.com, while the G7 meeting was being trashed by Donald Trump, Chinese leaders Xi Jinping and Putin from Russia met in Beijing and were having a big laugh about how the West and their allies are in a free fall. And according to Axios, both Putin and Xi are surprised and shocked by the rapidity of the U.S. decline. And Russia and China are looking to take advantage of the Trump-led mayhem It's that bad, folks. Our worst nightmares of Trump dissolving our friendships forged over 100 years. It's all coming true. And then, as we know, Trump went on to meet with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. But if I may for a second here, folks, if I can just assume the personality of Donald Trump. And although it was great, I just have to say, although it was great that he at least, Trump's at least sat down with Kim Jong-un, I will say that. But if I can assume the personality of Donald Trump, what would Donald Trump have said if Obama had done this? What would he have said? Trump would have criticized the whole meeting with Kim Jong-un as a nothing burger with no beef. Remember going back, I mean, some of you may not remember or have been around during this time frame, but if you remember back in the late 80s, those ads for Wendy's, those ads when they had Clara Peller looking at a big fat bun and nothing was there. I mean, she's saying, "Where's the beef?" Remember that one? "Where's the beef?" Well, yeah, Donald Trump, where's the beef? What the heck? I mean, the whole agreement lacked substance. It was full of holes on any verification of denuclearizing North Korea. And basically so full of holes that it won't hold any water. I mean, if there's anything to clap about, it's basically just that the two are simply talking. And yeah, that's good, but that's it. I'm sorry, but that meeting was yesterday's news. We're going to bang on Scott Pruitt next. He's coming right up. Just hang on there, Scott Pruitt. I'm going to bang on you something fierce. Yeah, Scott Pruitt, you're making my dreams come true, too. And I don't know if you saw it. This is a new report from the New York Times today, June 15th. And kind of an interest. You know, it just never ends. It just never ends with this guy. I mean, how much is it going to take, Donald Trump? How much? How much more are you going to have to hear about Scott Pruitt? And you keep looking the other way yourself on everything that he's done. How much more is it going to take? Well, according to the New York Times, today, June 15th, senior staffers at the EPA frequently felt pressured by Scott Pruitt to help in personal matters and obtain special favors for his family, with one staffer noting that Pruitt has a clear sense of entitlement about the perks he should get. As cabinet member, he feels entitled to this BS, folks. And here's the list. There's three things from the New York Times. The first one is, Mr. Pruitt, shortly after taking the EPA job, he reached out to the former Speaker of the Virginia House of Delegates seeking help for his daughter, McKenna, in securing admission to the University of Virginia Law School of Law. William Howell, the former Speaker, appears on Mr. Pruitt's official, by the way, EPA calendar, and he confirmed in an interview that he was approached by Mr. Pruitt and subsequently wrote a letter to the school's dean on the daughter's behalf. Nasty. I mean, just pulling strings all over the place just because you can. I mean, how much more? And number two, Scott Pruitt was getting his daughter an internship at the White House. An internship at the White House. Good night. And separately, at least three EPA staff members were dispatched to help Ms. Pruitt obtain a summer internship at the White House. Both current and former staff members have said. And Kevin Chmielewski, who was Mr. Pruitt's deputy chief of staff for operations until February when he was fired, recalled a conversation last year when Mr. Pruitt instructed him and other top aides to see what you can do. See what you can do about getting an internship for my daughter, which is, by the way, a highly competitive and prized post in Washington. And, surprise, Ms. Pruitt was selected as an intern last summer. The third point, tickets to sporting events and FaceTime with players beforehand. Mr. Pruitt also had his staff include various sporting events in his schedule, which included bringing his considerable EPA security detail with him. The current and former aides have said. Among the sporting events helped arranged for Pruitt, among the sporting events that aides helped arrange for Mr. Pruitt to attend were two Washington Nationals baseball games, including one on July 5th, when they negotiated access for Mr. Pruitt to the team's batting practice before a scheduled matchup with the New York Mets, according to emails obtained by the Sierra Club. "Thanks for taking my call this morning. If we could arrange for Administrator Pruitt to come to batting practice before July 5th's game, that would be wonderful," Madeline Morris, then an EPA aide, wrote in an email to the Nationals' Vice President for Community Engagement, Gregory McCarthy. "That would be wonderful." And in general, what Scott Pruitt's doing here, folks, in general, he's trying to lead the lifestyle of a person whose net worth is many multiples of his. He's about as, should be, you know, just middle class. I mean, when you look at it, he's just simply middle class. But he's trying to live the lifestyle of a person whose net worth is many multiples of his. According to aides who spoke to the Times, Pruitt told them that he expected a certain standard of living akin to a wealthier Trump cabinet member's, and gave the impression that he saw them as foot soldiers in achieving that lifestyle. The problem here is that, was noted in the article, was that he's not a billionaire, but he thinks he is. He thinks he is. You know, it's just icky. I mean, no matter which way I look at Scott Pruitt, it's revolting. You know, it just turns your stomach. And all Republicans, they just seem to look the other way. They just look the other way like they've always been doing. They just stick their head in the sand. Go ahead and do that if you must. But it's not going to end until some Republicans stand up and say they've had enough of Scott Pruitt and deem him to be fired. Demand him to be fired. I mean, he needs to go. And folks, here's another great deed that Scott Pruitt is doing right now. And this one came out just yesterday. And Scott Pruitt is putting a legal proposal on Trump's desk. Actually, he did that today. He put a proposal on Trump's desk today to dramatically scale back Obama's regulations on water pollution. And, you know, it just continues. If it's got Obama's name on it, no matter how common sense it is, without even looking at it, they just want it to go. And here's one that he just put on Trump's desk today to scale back Obama era regulations on water pollution. And folks, this is a significant rollback in both size and scope. And on Monday, this coming Monday, look for this one. Scott Pruitt is expected to publish another major change. And he plans to gut Obama's rule to reduce climate warming pollution. It's going to be a rule to reduce climate warming pollution from vehicle tailpipes. And you can look for that bombshell coming out on Monday. Well, well done, you little toad, Scott Pruitt. Well done. Oh, my gosh. Kind of reminds me of the Three Stooges. You know what? You know better than that, Scott Pruitt.
You know better than that. Do I?
No.
Yeah, get out of here. Well, folks, I want to leave you on a good note. We've actually got, I don't know if you saw this. This came out actually on June 6th, and I've been meaning to kind of throw this out there, but something encouraging here. And this is coming to us from Melissa Healy, wrote this article from the Los Angeles Times, and it's called "A Cancer Breakthrough That Is Encouraging." And it's called immunotherapy. Many of you know what that is, and it's ridding patients of advanced breast cancer. And I'm just going to give you the pertinent bits of this article here, and you can look it up in more detail if you'd like. But in the all-hands-out effort to harness the powers of the immune system to fight cancer, scientists have reported that a new approach has eliminated all evidence of advanced-stage breast cancer in a 49-year-old woman who had run out of treatment options. Only 49 years old. The patient's complete durable cancer regression followed a single infusion of her own immune cells, which were painstakingly chosen for their ability to recognize and fight her tumors. and then expanded into an army of nearly 100 billion identical cells. So they found the ones that were fighting her tumor, and they expanded those into 100 billion identical cells. More than 3 years later, the patient, whose name is Judy Perkins, is not only alive, but she's seemingly cancer-free, according to a report published last Monday in the journal Nature Medicine. And she says, "I've definitely hit the jackpot here," Judy Perkins said. "Yes, you have, Judy, and we're happy, happy that you have, and I hope this holds a lot of promise for a lot of folks out there. It's about time. It's about damn time." And Judy is a retired engineer from Port St. Lucie, Florida, not too far from where I'm from, down in West Palm Beach. And she's out there. They show her in a kayak. She's having a great time, and she's smiling, and she's cancer-free. So let's hope this is something, folks, that you know, we can point to save some lives. We've all lost somebody from cancer, no doubt. Maybe this is something that's going to turn the pages. Interesting stuff. Well, folks, again, I want to thank you for listening to us here. And again, we'll be back here shortly. And again, this is the You Make My Dreams Come True cover, and it's from the Philip Fox Band. You can find them on YouTube. You can find them on YouTube. Thanks for listening. And again, you can reach us at rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. And I want to thank you again for listening. My name is Frank Ebersold. We'll look for you next time.